Thank you. Hi, everyone. Stephanie, compulsive eater. I've never done one of these before, so please bear with me. I will do my best, and hopefully, I will have something useful to say. I guess to start with the qualification, I kind of want to start with how I identify, which is I always say I'm a compulsive eater, right? I don't necessarily say overeater. Although I am very much a compulsive overeater, but I feel like my problem with food is kind of bigger than that. And I having listened to so many other people in so many meetings, I think that's true for a lot of us in a way. Yes, I've absolutely compulsively overeaten. I have also compulsively restricted. I have compulsively exercised to burn off the things that I've binged on. I have compulsively used other things to purge after binging, even when I have gone through phases of eating quote unquote normal portions of food, I have been continually obsessed with food, what I'm eating, what I'm not eating, what are the rules of whatever diet I'm following this week or this month. What is everyone else around me eating? What is everyone else around me not eating? Who took the last cupcake? Can I, excuse me, I mentioned to move food. Can I take the last bite of that thing? Should I take the last bite of that thing? Maybe I took too many bites of that thing. I don't know. And just that constant narrative of food just taking up half of my brain every moment of every day. And I think that's when I tend to, like I said, I say I'm a compulsive eater, and that's what I mean is left to my own devices, I have a constant track of food in my brain. I have used food as a comfort, as a distraction, as an escape hatch, really since I was a little kid. I remember being very small, maybe 5 years old, and just binging on absurd things. One was, and again, I know we don't talk specific foods, but 5 years old and I binged on, apples at the apple orchard, like really just, very little and doing this behavior. So I kind of think I've always been this way. But I also think it doesn't really matter. Then of course I get older. Probably starting around 10, 11 years old, dieting. And then I was in the dieting cycle, which I could recount for hours, but it is very boring, I think, to anyone who doesn't diet. So I'm going to skip over the 30 years of dieting, except to say that the food noise never got quiet. And a couple of years ago, I found myself with a young kid and married to someone who we don't take others' inventory, but I will gently say probably needs a 12-step program or two of his own that he's not in. Then I was eating a lot to cope with the stress of how difficult my marriage was. And I told myself, well, that's why I'm eating, right? I'm gonna stop eating when I'm out of this house, when I don't have to live with this person anymore, when I don't have to deal with this person anymore, which, by the way, is delusional, because if you divorce someone with a young child, you are dealing with them for, I assume, until she's 18 at least. I guess I'll report back when she's 18, if I have to continue to see him after that. All of that delusional thinking of like, well, I'm just eating like this being, binging and all of my red light foods all of the time and just huge quantities of food. And it was because of the stress. It's stressful, and then I was divorcing him and the divorce got dragged out for years and years in which I had to continue to live in the same house with him. It's like, oh, well, obviously that's why I'm eating. That's of course why I'm eating, because I'm in this house with this person who is divorcing me as slowly and painfully as possible, because that's the kind of person that he is. And I'm trying to parent a little kid through all of this, kind of on my own, but also with the deliberate interference of another adult who is trying to make me miserable. And like, obviously, when I move out, that's going to be when I'm going to be able to go back on a diet and I'm going to be able to succeed. And I turned 40 and I got to move out. And I'm in my own lovely, quiet apartment, and it's just me and my daughter. And I had, at this point now, I have a new partner who is absolutely wonderful. And I had left a really stressful job. I have a job that I really love. Everything's in order. Everything's great. I did it. And every night at 9 o'clock, I'm opening the snack cabinet and eating whatever I can find for mostly until my stomach hurts. And that went on for, at first it was, well, I'm adjusting, right? I'm adjusting to living alone. Okay, no, that's not it. I end up crying to my therapist and just saying, I don't understand. I don't understand what's wrong with me. I cannot stop doing this. I have no reason to do this. I've run out of reasons. What is wrong with me? And my therapist is thankfully 12-step informed, and she said, I want you to read about OA. So I started reading about OA, and then I thought to myself, oh, I can do this on my own. I'm gonna listen to recorded speakers, and I'm gonna read all the books, and that's all I need to do. I don't need to like get other people involved in this. That seems like a lot to just be like, well, I'm gonna go on Zoom and talk to other people. I'm gonna go in person. Get out of here. But obviously, it doesn't work that way. This is not a self-study program. And so I, then my therapist pointed that out to me again because I have a great therapist, yay. And she made me promise I would go to a meeting. And of course, again, because I'm trying to put up as many barriers as possible, I was like, well, I couldn't possibly do a Zoom meeting because those aren't real meetings. Haha, joke's on me. I'm going to go to this in-person meeting, and there is an in-person meeting near me. It's funny, it's actually Thursday nights, so I will be there in about 13 hours. I said, okay, I'm going to go to this in-person meeting, and it's at a local hospital that actually has a pretty significant bariatric medicine practice. So I assume that's why they meet there. Also, the hospital meeting room is apparently free, so I think that's the other reason we meet there. But I finally do it. I commit. Okay, I'm going to this meeting. I show up. I get to the front desk. The security guard asks where I'm going, and I say, "Oh, Reader's Anonymous," and like trying to like whisper it, right? Because I don't want anybody to hear me. And he says, "Okay, it's in conference room 5. Follow the signs to the cafeteria." And I was like, "What?" The conference rooms are next to the cafeteria, and I know that now. But I was just like, this feels like a cosmic joke. I don't know if I should be here. But at that point, I had the sticker on my shirt, and they were opening the gate to let me into the hospital. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm just following the signs to the cafeteria. We'll see how this goes. That meeting was a really good start. It's really small. Recovery levels vary, but it was just a small group of people who were able to say, and one person in particular who kind of embraced me and were like, yeah, just keep coming back, right? And for a long time, that's all I was doing. That was, I did get a sponsor. I have worked the 12 steps through once, but I really struggled with abstinence. I really struggled. And I was, some of it, I think, for me is because I wanted someone else to tell me what my abstinence should be. And again, that's not how it works here. I will say, I think working the steps through the first time around made me ready to admit to what my abstinence needed to be. And that was really what it was for me, was I had to admit there are certain foods. It's a rel My red light list is relatively short, but there are, a half a dozen foods that I'm going to say it now, I will never eat those foods again. And I know we do a lot of just for today and one day at a time, and that is true in terms of how I maintain my abstinence. But I had to get really honest and really real with myself about these particular foods. These were foods where I take a bite, and by the end of the day, I'm in the food. And it was every time. It was every time, no matter how clean my diet was the rest of the day, no matter how controlled I was about that particular red light food. Even if I did a great job and I had my one portion and my one, and weekly luncheon at work or whatever, and I had my one portion and I ate like a normal person, just like everyone else. And then 6 hours later, I'd be, after my daughter went to bed, I would be plowing through a tray of, again, not going to say specific foods, but I'm sure we all have our foods. Then all of you can imagine something. And so I did, I finally did it. I was just like, you know what? I'm done now. I have to be done with these foods. And the phrase I've come up with when I get really tempted, when one of them pops up, is, okay, I have eaten enough of that in my life to last several lifetimes. So when I look at the red light foods, it's like, oh no, I've had enough of that for the rest of my life, which is kind of hard to admit sometimes, and it feels like it kind of sucks. But the longer I have been abstinent, and I am on day 92, so take all of this for whatever it's worth. But the longer I have been abstinent, the easier it has gotten to look at those things as just, not my food. I want to talk a little bit about what got me there. I will say some of it was working the 12 steps. I will say some of it was, I was going to one or two meetings a week, and people there were encouraging and, really honest about their own recovery. But I mean, the real reason is, in the fall, I went through, I was debating whether to get specific about this, but I think that I will. I went through an unexpected but very much wanted pregnancy and miscarriage in the fall. And it was, when I tell you, it was the worst experience of my life, the miscarriage part, obviously. I just, and I was trying to eat, right, to numb out, because that's what I do. I eat and then I'm numb and then it's okay, except that it wasn't. It was every time I woke up, I felt worse. And I thought, if I keep feeling worse, something bad is going to happen, because I can't, it can't keep getting worse. It just can't keep getting worse. I can't live like this. And so I got on a meeting. I think it might have been, I don't know if it was Thursday, but I think it was Daily Reprieve, because I already sort of had the OA, toolbox in my brain, even though I wasn't using it very well. And somebody talked about 90 and 90, meaning 90 meetings in 90 days. And I thought to myself, well, okay, and, it was 2 days before Halloween in the US, which is, food kickoff to food extravaganza season. And I thought, well, okay, that'll get me through, right? That'll get me through the worst of the season. And maybe if I can do 90 meetings in 90 days, maybe I can be okay through the new year. And so I just started doing it. I started going to a meeting every day. I pray, I'll be honest, I prayed about it, and I got rid of the red light foods that I was talking about. And it really was just a day at a time. I got to 30 days. I took on, I will say, one of the things that has helped me a lot already is service. So I got to 30 days of abstinence, and I immediately volunteered for a service opportunity that required 30 days of abstinence. Because now, every single time I think about picking up a food, I have to also think about the people that I need to call to let them know that I can't do that service responsibility anymore, and that I'm going to be leaving a gap and letting people down. And not that it, like it's a healthy pressure, right? I'm part of a community. People are relying on me, and part of that includes relying on me to stay abstinent. And so it really does help. I will say, I think the first time I really noticed that, like, the miracle was working, as people say, stay until the miracle happens. And I will say, I think at first, the miracle I was hoping for was that, like, I would get healthy and thin, and then I would get pregnant. And that's not looking like that's going to happen. But I noticed the first miracle sort of after Thanksgiving. So I stayed abstinent through Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was my 30th day of abstinence, which, again, in the US, I think sounds completely absurd, because it's literally just a holy day of food, right? It is, you get up and you eat and you spend the whole day, or at least if, in my family, we get up, we eat. It's a whole day of eating. It is more dessert than human beings at the party, no matter how many people are at the party. Just absolute chaos of food. And I stuck through it, I did it. But the Monday after Thanksgiving, I had taken some leftovers, because we'd had Thanksgiving at my brother's house, and my daughter had asked to take a dessert item. That is one of the things that is not my food. And so she had leftovers in the fridge. And so I picked her up from school on Monday. We're driving home, we're talking about dinner. And she asked if she could have that thing after dinner for dessert, the leftover. And I said, yeah, of course, because my daughter is has a normal and healthy relationship with food so far. And so, yeah, you want to have dessert after dinner? Absolutely, you can have dessert after dinner. And then I realized, like, I was able to say yes, that she could have that item without checking the refrigerator. And that hadn't happened before, because when I binged on whatever I could get. And sometimes that meant eating other people's food. Meant eating my little kid's food and then telling her lies that it went stale, or that, oh, we ran out and I'm getting more, or I would run out on my lunch break to replace the thing that I had eaten so she wouldn't know that I had eaten her snack, right? Like, all of that. It was, I think, the first time I realized. I would have never said I was a dishonest person when I was in the food, but I absolutely was, because I was always doing things like that. I was always hiding my eating. I was always replacing things and hoping nobody noticed, finishing the last bite and then saying that the thing had gotten freezer burned or stale, or I noticed mold on, right? Like, oh, I had to get rid of it. No, I ate it. And so, just in that moment, to be able to be in the car, nowhere near the fridge, nowhere near the having the ability to check on, oh crap, did I eat that? Because that would be the other thing. I wouldn't even know what I ate half the time. And so like having the ability to just say, yeah, you can have that, because I knew it was there, because I knew I hadn't taken her food, because I had stopped taking other people's food. I had stopped eating other people's food. And I think that's been kind of the coolest part. And, I just like, I get to be honest. I get to be reliable, because I'm not, whether I realize it or not, and I will say mostly not, but like before OA, my life was really chaotic and I really wasn't reliable. And it was because of the food. It was because I was sneaking around. I was trying to get my binge foods. I was trying to find places and spaces to binge in secret where no one would see me. And so even though I didn't want to be or didn't think of myself as a dishonest person, I really was, because my life foundation was secrets. And now it's not. Now it is program and 12 steps and honestly these meetings. I said, like I kind of said before, I started doing 90 meetings in 90 days, and I am probably someone who is going to be on a daily meeting, or at least a near daily meeting for the rest of my life, because I have seen how it has changed me, and how taking the hour to just sit and be with other people who have the same experiences. And frankly, for me, who've gotten through the same experiences, like that's the amazing part, is listening to other people. And people have been absent. There are times you hear some I hear somebody speak and they've been absent longer than I've been alive. Other times there's just the beauty in people who come to program and are in their retirement years and just starting. And the idea that, oh, I'm because I think that's part of it. Like I said, I turned 40 last year, and there is an element of like, I'm 40, like I'm gonna start something from scratch. I'm gonna start over. Get out of here, right? I'm 40, I'm old. Which I know a couple of folks are laughing, like, because I'm not old at all. And I recognize I'm not old at all. I want to be clear, but that's part of what has been so beautiful, is connecting with so many people. Yeah, it would have been great if I could have found OA and been ready for OA at 20, but 40's great, 60's great, 80's great. It's all great, because it's all whenever anybody gets here is when you get here. And getting here is the important part, and staying here is the more important part. I think I'm rambling a little bit. I think the biggest thing that I've gotten here, and again, I said, like, I kind of imagined when I started that, like, oh, this is going to be how I'm going to get thin. And then, more recently, and then I'm going to be super, super healthy. And then obviously I'm going to get the pregnancy that I wanted and the baby that I wanted. And that's going to happen, because I'm going to do the 12 steps perfectly. I'm going to be a perfect A
Gentle
plus
2-minute
student.
reminder.
Thank you so much. I'm going to be the perfect OA student, and then I'm going to get everything I wanted. That's how this works. And it's not how this works. I'm not getting everything I wanted or everything I thought I wanted. I'm not a perfect student. Going to say, I see my sponsor on this call and I owe her about 3 days of writing. Whoops. because I am working the steps again. But I think the thing that I will say is, I have gotten just an incredible community, incredible people, an incredible relationship with my higher power, which I didn't talk about a lot today, but is something I didn't have at all before program and has really been life-changing. I think the biggest thing is just every day I get to set aside my ego, and I get to set aside my self-will, and I get to set aside this feeling that I always had that, like, I'm in charge of the outcome. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, and I'm going to get the outcome that I want. Me, I'm going to do it. Not in charge. I'm not in charge of the outcome. I'm not in charge of other people. I'm not in charge of how my body reacts to the food I put in it, right? I am not in charge. I just get to be here and show up and be honest and do, and again, the cliche, right? But I do the next right thing. And it's just been really good. I'm so much more at peace and so much happier and so much less chaotic after, even just the, 91 days of abstinence that are behind me so far. Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to program, and I am going to stop before Gloria has to stop me. So thank you all for listening to me, and I welcome outreach. I'll put my number in the chat.